Well, we have a cycle in our church, and this cycle is called Game Changers. Game Changers. Every 7 weeks, we have a new cycle, and this year we felt that this cycle should be called Game Changers. And a few weeks ago, I spoke to you from the topic being a game changer or becoming a game changer. And you are here today because I want to tell you that God wants you to know that you should become a game changer. God wants you and me to become game changers. What is a game changer? The definition of a game changer is the following: a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. It's a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation in a significant way. We're talking about a game changer. A game changer is an element that changes a situation in a significant way. It's a newly element or factor that changes a situation. That situation might be for a long time the same situation in a significant way. A game changer is also an event. It can be an idea or a procedure that affects a significant shift in the current way of doing or thinking about something. So I said to you a few weeks ago that a game changer is an element, and an element can be a person. It can be a person. It can be you. And a game changer can also be an idea. An idea can be a game-changing idea that brings a shift in the way that we think or do things. A game changer is a newly element that changes an existing situation in a significant way. And God wants you and I to become game changers. God has saved you, made you new, and then placed you in situations in your world which He wants you to shift in significant ways or change in significant ways. You want to be a game changer? You need to understand that change is important. You cannot be in the kingdom of God and you don't want to change. Meeting Jesus, you change. Walking with Jesus, you're going to change. And when you meet Him one day, you're going to change. There's one solid foundation in the kingdom, and that is change. Change is as good as a holiday. Man, you need to embrace change. God says the universe is constantly changing. He's constantly adding. So if you're born from the Spirit of God, how can you be in a church 3 years later and you haven't changed? 10 years later and you haven't changed? 20 years later and you haven't changed. When you meet Jesus, you change. When you walk with Jesus, you change. And when you're going to meet Him, you are going to change. Change is constant. A game changer is a newly element that changes an existing situation in a significant way. An element can be a person. A person can be a game changer that's been placed in an existing situation to change that situation in a significant way. I said to you, there was and is and never will be a person or a bigger game changer than Jesus Christ. Jesus was the ultimate game changer. He stepped into mankind in this existing horrible situation and changed it significantly. And if God has touched your life, God has left you here on earth to be a game changer. He's going to place you in situations, existing situations, and He's going to expect you to come with a new idea. He's going to expect you to be the element of change significantly in that situation. Jesus was the greatest game changer this world has ever seen. Family, a game changer can also be an idea. Idea that significantly shifts the current way of doing things or thinking about things. I said to you in the previous sermon that I believe that God wants to flood your life with game-changing ideas. You might be a dentist. God wants to give you an idea for a dental practice or practices that will shift the way of doing teeth. You might be a doctor. God's going to give you a game-changing idea how to cure people. You might be a teacher. I trust that God will give you a game-changing idea how to teach people. You might be a businessman. God is going to give you a game-changing idea that's going to change your business into a game-changing business. We have to trust God for game-changing ideas. You need to know that God has left you here in certain existing situations to change it significantly, because God has called you and me to be game changers in this world and in every situation we find ourselves in. A game changer changes the way that something is done, thought about, or made. We've been doing it like this for 10 years. You ain't gonna become a game changer if you do it for the next 10 years in the same way. A game changer steps into a situation and says, we can't do it the same anymore. We need to change the way we think about doing this, and we need to make something new out of what we have. Are you still with me? I said to you that a game changer, number one, have relentless pursuit. When you study the lives of game changers, you find certain characteristics, certain traits in their lives. One of those traits is the following: they have relentless pursuit. I'm not talking about people in the kingdom of God. I'm just talking about game changers in the marketplace. I said to you, one game changer is a man called Steve Jobs. You need to watch the movie of Steve Jobs. It's inspiring. You know, what did Steve bring? He brought to us proper computers and proper telephones. He changed the game of computers and telephones. You see, all the rest is handsets and stuff for less privileged people. Steve changed the game. He brought us Apple. Come on, say it with me. No, say it with me. Apple. No, you have to say, as all you Samsung dudes, say it with me. Apple. Peter, Apple. He's a game changer. When you study his life, you find that he was far in front of the game. He was far ahead. At one stage in the movie, you find that he got frustrated with the people. He said, I know that we can't do it now because technology does not allow us now, but we're going to catch up with technology, and then it's going to be able to allow us to do what we want to do. He was a game changer. Had a new idea in a stinky situation, existing situation that brought a change in the future. God wants you to be a game changer in every situation that you find yourself in. You need to rely upon the Holy Spirit to download into your life game-changing ideas. There's many of these men that we can use as examples. Steve is just one. But you study his life and you find he had relentless pursuit. He didn't pursue what he wanted to do just once or twice a week. Every day, for years, he relentlessly pursued his goal. The second thing I said to you is to be original. You have to be original. Stop being fake. The whole world is full of fake stuff. Fake shoes, fake jeans. That Gucci bag you have might be into one be fake. I don't know. You get fake DVDs. You get fake people. They go for every lift in the world. They change their face. They look like a Barbie doll. Fake. The world is full of fake stuff. Copycats. And God doesn't want you to be a copycat. God does not want you to be fake. God wants you to be original. He wants you to be the best you. Don't become like Tabu. Praise God. There's only one. Thank God for that. But you need to become you. You need to be comfortable in your own skin. Be the best you. Be original. Amen? If you want to become a game changer, stop trying to be like other people. You hear you're an aspiring young man or woman that want to preach one day, plant churches, do great things for God. You can't one day in your home cell preach like Jack Efra Dollar. The next week you speak like Auntie Joyce. Then you are T.D. Jakes. You just can't do that. It's stupid. Be you. Be comfortable in your own skin. Get your own identity. Be original. when you study the lives of game changers, and you can go study that, you find that they are original. Steve Jobs doesn't like to be like Richard Branson. And Richard is not trying to be like Warren Buffett. They are all original. There's one of their kind. They have the same traits and the same characters in certain areas when it comes to business, but they are original. I want to encourage you to be original. The third thing is develop a clear purpose. You study the lives of these people, you find that they had a clear purpose. Last week I said to you, a week before that, I said to you that Jesus had a clear purpose. Jesus made his purpose clear. He said, I came to seek and save those who were lost. I was sent by my Father to finish the work that he has started. So what is your purpose in life? To seek and save those who are lost and to finish the work that your brother has started. Clear purpose. And if we want to become successful and be game changers, then we need to embrace the purpose that our Lord has given us. You see, Jesus didn't come from heaven and said, well, I know my Father wants everybody else to be saved, but I'm just going to build the church. No, he embraced the purpose of heaven, the purpose of his Father, made that his own, had a clear purpose, communicated that purpose correctly, and had relentless pursuit to that goal. You want to become successful? Embrace your Father's purpose, communicate your Father's purpose, and relentlessly pursue your Father's purpose like Jesus did. Jesus said, I came to seek and save those who were lost. I said to you a few weeks ago that the purpose of Jesus was not to bring love. The purpose of Jesus was to save the lost. To save the lost. The reason was because he loved the world. So Jesus has left you here, myself, in this city. It might be a stinking situation, a current situation, but he's saying, I made you a game changer. I made every one of you game changers. Now I want you guys to shift through new ideas and new ways of doing this current situation, change it and shift it in a different direction. There is not a situation you find yourself in this life where you cannot be a game changer. You can be a game changer in every situation because Christ lives in you and he is the ultimate game changer. Today I want to talk to you from this one. Understand the value and importance of foundations. Even though a game changer is a newly element or a new idea that comes in a current situation to shift and change that situation, when you study the life of game changers, you find the following. They place a lot of value on fundamentals, on foundations. And many of us in the church, we want to change the world, but the first thing that we do, we kick away the foundations. We don't put any focus on the foundations. I want to tell you, if you want to become a game changer, yes, do something new. But don't do it in such a new way that you reject the foundations. God wants you to know that there's value in foundations and that foundations are important. Are you with me? In Psalm 11 verse 3, it says, in the Lord I put my trust, that you can say, how can you say to me, flee as a bird to the mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready the arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Have you gone through your life as a righteous man and woman and found, what can I do more in this situation? Or is it just me? I've read this scripture so many times. God has ministered to me about the importance of foundations so many times. But just now, he showed me something. He said to me, Tom, with the ultimate foundation that you need to have in your life, you may need to make it one, is the following. You need to trust me. In every situation, you need to trust me. You can have foundations, but if you don't trust me in every situation, because a game changer finds himself in situations. happening in that situation, you need to trust me all the time. Make it a foundation principle in your life. I'm going to trust God in every situation. God wants me to be a game changer. I'm going to find myself in sticky situations, but in that, I am going to trust Him. Then He said to me, the Holy Spirit showed me, He said, there's a reason why I want you to make this a foundation in your life. He says, the next scripture, look at it, put it up. He says, because the wicked secretly shoots at the upright of heart. Meaning, if you like it or not, the enemy wants to take you out. And he is shooting secret arrows to your life. Because you are righteous, you are upright, you want to do things right according to God's word. And he's constantly shooting you with a new girlfriend that wants to get you in bed. He's shooting you with a new friend that wants to get you in pub. He's shooting you with a job that is out of God's will. He's constantly shooting at the upright of heart. Come on. And then he said, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Friends, Jesus is the greatest game changer of all time. And he started with foundations. When he stepped into this situation, which we called man and mankind, it was an awful, stinking situation. Come on. Man is just killing each other. Sin is thriving, destroying creation. Jesus stepped into this situation as a game changer. Come on. He stepped in as a game changer. He came with a new idea. He came with a new way. He shifted the way of what how people think and thought and did things. But when he came in, he didn't do away with the foundations. No, he understood the power and the value of foundations. In Matthew chapter 5, 17, look at this. He said to the disciples, he says, do not think that I have come to do away or undo the law or the prophets. I have come not to do away or undo, but to complete and to fulfill them. Come on. You see, God's people were building upon the foundations of the law and the prophets. You have to stay with me. The foundation of the law and the prophets. Jesus said, listen, you might think I'm going to come in and I'm going to kick those foundations. He said, hey, don't think like that. I didn't come to withdo those foundations. I came to fulfill and build upon those foundations. The game changer made it clear to his disciples that, listen, I'm not here to withdo with foundations. I'm here to repair and to build upon those foundations. Don't understand where we get these mindsets. You get the Holy Spirit. You want to do things for God, then you come into church, you're not even 3 months here, and you want to do things your way. You have to calm down, shut up, and listen. These foundations have been laid here for many, many years. Get yourself upon those foundations. If there's a problem with the foundations, come humbly and show, and let's talk about it. Let's restore those foundations, and then we build. You don't come and do a new thing here. No, no, no. You will receive a backside kick very quickly. The game changer of all time stepped into humanity and said, you might think I came to change it or to take it away, but I did not. I came to embrace it, to restore it, and to build upon it. Come on. Friends, when God steps into situations, he always rebuilds, and restores the foundations. When you study the Old Testament, you find that God's people, whenever he called them to restore Jerusalem, the temple and the city, which is Jerusalem, in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, you find that he constantly tells them to restore the foundations. He points them to the city walls. He points them to the temple. He points them to the foundations. So when God steps into a situation that has fallen, God does not rebuke and remove the foundations. He looked at the foundations. He repairs the foundations, makes the foundation strong, number one, and then he starts to build. So when God comes into your life, he's going to give you a strong foundation. Later in your life, you need to check your foundations. Keep on restoring your foundations. Keep on leveling your foundations. Keep on making your foundation strong, and then start building again. In Ezra 4:12, it says, "Let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem and are building the rebellious and evil city and are finishing its walls and repairing the foundations." Come on. God sending his people to restore the city. What do? They start with the foundations. Start with the foundations. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you don't place value on foundations, you don't put importance on foundations, what are you going to do? I believe that this is the clear example of the church that we are experiencing right now, a church without power. Because most Christians are rejecting the fundamental principles of God's kingdom. Your life is powerless because you don't focus on the foundations of God's kingdom. I preach to myself. I preach to you. I want to shake you to realize how important the foundations are. God has laid foundations in your life. You might know God for 60 years. You need to revisit your foundations, look at your foundations, repair your foundations, restore your foundations, and then start building again. In Ezra chapter 6 verse 3, it says, "In the first year of King Cyrus, the king Cyrus issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations of it be firmly laid." Come on. God speaking to a non-believing king. "Command my people to go build my city and my temple and tell them to lay the secure foundations." Come on, church. You want to be a game changer? You need to focus on the foundations. What are the foundations of our faith? In Hebrews chapter 1:10, it says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Friends, I want to tell you that there is a full-on attack on God's house. Well, you can blow a house apart, but you have to destroy the foundations. If you don't destroy the foundations, that house can be built again very quickly. So Satan is attacking God's house, and Satan is not easily going to stop by shooting the house down. He is going to get to the foundations, because if he can get to the foundations, he knows the righteous can't do much. It's going to take them years to restore those foundations before they can build again. And I want to tell you that there is a full-on attack. And one, number one foundation that I believe in the kingdom, which you need to cement, the previous one that I said to you, that trusting the Lord in every situation, is the following. God laid the foundation of the earth. Because governments are going to challenge you. People are going to challenge you. Schools are going to challenge you. Colleges, universities, they're already doing it. Church, you need to make up your mind. This is my foundation, that my Lord laid the foundations of this world and he created the heavens. You just need to open up your eyes to see that attack in schools, universities, governments coming to you. The church is fast asleep. Satan is attacking our foundations. Number one that he's attacking is God the Creator. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 10, it says the following. "It was by faith that Abram obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going." I said in the earlier service, I can park here and preach a little bit. You see, we just want to know where we're going. And it ain't working like that. When God comes into your life, he's calling you. And he's telling you to move. And over here with Abram, he said, "Abe, you follow me, bro." And Abe said, "Where's the map? Where's the TomTom? Where's the GPS?" And I promise you, Abram had a wife, but the wives of those days were not backseat drivers like today. So Abram had no choice, just to move. You know, so many of us, God calls us, God speaks to us. But how am I going to get there, Pastor? Who's going to pay my salary, Pastor? Who's going to do that for me, Pastor? That ain't faith, church. It's not faith. The Bible says God told Abram, move. And as you move, I'm going to show you. Now look at this. He says, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abram was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. A city designed and built by God. Ah, I like it. He obtained everything by faith. I know that we are saved by grace, but through faith. I told you so many times, grace is what Jesus did. Grace is what you don't have to do. But you get saved by taking your faith and applying it to that grace. Abram got saved because he used his faith in what God said. It's by faith, church. We live, we move, we breathe by faith. One of the fundamental principles and foundations of the eternal city of Christ, which is the church, you and I, is the foundation of faith. You are that eternal city which Abram looked at in the spirit, expecting it, the church of Jesus, the new Jerusalem. The foundation of that city, one of those foundations is faith. You can come to this church or to the church of Jesus and become useless and stay useless because you don't apply faith. You can come and cry here every day and your life will never change. You will live in a shanty house and sometimes in a tent in the promised land. I have seen it in the short time that I got saved, that people got saved before me, but they are stuck where I found them 13 years ago. Same Jesus, same Holy Spirit, same church. They stuck there where I found them today, where I found them 13 years ago. Why, Larry? Faith. They don't place faith as the foundation of their life. Why is faith so important? Because faith is the manifestation of two very important things. Number one, your belief in God's word. Why is faith so important? Because it manifests your belief in God's word and your obedience to God's word. By looking at a life of faith, you find Abram, David, Paul, all the great men of God, you find one thing. They had a trust and belief in God's word. The second thing, you find long-term obedience in their lives. Not short-term. Not microwave obedience. Long-term obedience. You study the life of Abram, the father of faith. You find him writing test after test after test on obedience. Believing God's word. One of the greatest tests was sacrificing his son. The Bible says God spoke to him in the early hours of the morning or in the night. He says early the next morning, he took his boy and was on his way to the mountain God showed him. Wow! Why is faith so important? Because it manifests your belief and your obedience to God's word. In Psalm 89:14, it's awful quiet here today. Is this helping somebody? Yeah. I know it's tight, but it's right. Psalm 89:14 says the following. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Wow. In this eternal kingdom, there's a king. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things are going to be added to your life. You have to understand, it's not a democracy. The kingdom is not ruled by the vote of men. The kingdom is ruled by the vote of one. That one is sitting on the throne. The pinnacle of that eternal city is the throne which the king is sitting on. And he says the foundations of the throne is what? Righteousness and justice. So what should your foundations and my foundations be? Righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice. We should live for righteousness and we should live for justice. In Psalm 82, the Bible says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty and he judges among the gods. The Greek, Hebrew word there, Elohim stands in the congregation of El, little gods. And he says, how long will you judge unjustly? And how long will you show partiality to the wicked? He says, defend the poor and the fatherless. He says, rip them out of the hand of the wicked. He says, they do not know, nor do they understand. And then he says, you will die like men. How many of God's people are dying like mere men? Because we don't know that God wants us to judge righteously and want to go for righteousness. God wants us to stand up and fight for stuff that is unjust. Human slavery, unjust. Abortion, unjust. All the other stuff, unjust. God wants his church to stand up and say, defend the poor and the fatherless. But the church is hit like dogs. You open your mouth, you get kicked. So none of us want to make up our mouths. God says, you are mine. The scripture of 82 is so important that when Jesus came, he said, didn't God say, ye are gods? You see, the problem is we don't know who God made us to be. God says we should go for righteousness and justice. It's the foundation of the pinnacle of this kingdom. Are you still with me? Can I have a place for Jesus? In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, it says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Wow. Can you remember I said to you that when Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to withdo the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. Yes. So later in the New Testament, Paul said, one of the foundations of the church is the doctrine or doctrines of the apostles and the prophets. Powerful. Making Jesus the chief cornerstone. Jesus came, he said, do not think I came to withdo the or devalue the foundations. I did not come to do that. I came to fulfill it and to build upon it. Then in the New Testament, you find that the man became the cornerstone of what the apostles and the prophets are preaching. There's a full-on attack upon the doctrines of the apostles and the prophets. For a very long time, the true apostles and prophets was taken out of God's church. For almost 1,800 years, 1,800 years, they were removed. In the last 400 years, God was bringing back the apostles and the prophets to restore the doctrines. One of those foundation doctrines is healing. The doing of miracles, praying in tongues, sacrifice, giving up your life for Jesus and others. Foundation doctrine of the church is sacrifice. Let me help you here. Sacrifice. People will tell you, oh, Jesus don't heal. He died when the prophets died and the apostles died. Slap him. You should slap a person like that, especially if they're a Christian. Give them a holy slap. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the miracle-making God. He is still the healing God. He is still going to do a miracle in your life. He's still going to heal you. He's still going to restore you. Full-on attack that Christ is not a healer anymore. In the church, it's demonic. The foundation of the church, the eternal church of Jesus, is built upon the doctrines of the apostles and the prophets. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I know that you guys are like a little bit bewildered, but it's in your Bible. Read the book. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19 says the following. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Now watch this. Having this seal, the Lord knows who are His. The foundation of God stands, and it has a seal. On that seal is the following. I know who's mine. You might not know, but God knows that you are His. One of God's foundations is like two legs. One leg says, I know who's mine. You need to know that you're born again, you love Jesus, you gave your life, you got baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, you're living for God, you are His. Don't doubt yourself. Don't second guess yourself. And know that when you open up your mouth, He knows that you are His. He is for you. He has a hope and a future for you. He says, one of my foundations is the following. I know that you're mine. The second one is the following. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. No, can I have an amen? Amen. Now you want to know that He knows you are His. But He says when you say that you are His, you have to depart from iniquity. I had five amens. No, you want to know everything, but you don't want to hear that. He says the other foundation that God stands upon is He knows who is His, and those who uses His name departs from iniquity. It's the seal of His foundation. You can't say you love Jesus, but you live like the world. You can't say you love Jesus, but you're constantly in sin. He says, if you are mine and you use my name, saying that you are saved, you carry my name, then you depart from iniquity. Well, let me explain to you this, and I don't know a better way. It came by the Holy Spirit, so it must be for somebody. Recently, I received a dog. You might know that I've got a beautiful wife, 5 kids, but you do not know that I have a nanny that lives with us. We have a lodger that lives with us. And we have a dog. I don't know if the dog was a blessing. I just received the dog. There was a time that I could walk in my beautiful garden bare feet. But since I have the dog, I can't walk bare feet in my garden anymore. Because my wife promised me that she would pick up the stuff that the dog left on my lawn. So I walk in my beautiful garden, and then I step in these landmines. Now, you two can sort it out later, because it's his dog, and she's the carer of his dog. But the dog is leaving stuff, which the dog does, in a beautiful garden. There was a time when I walk in the garden freely, without any concern. Now I need to watch where I step. Are you with me? Friends, you need to know, God is going to give you a beautiful garden, But he's going to give you a dog. There's a dog called Satan. He's going to leave his stuff on your lawn. And you're going to walk and you're going to step into landmines. Now, that's a different story when you are walking and you don't look where you're walking. You're enjoying life and you step into a landmine. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? It's nasty. It's a different story when you are looking for the landmines and stepping in. There's something wrong. If you are his, you need to know in the garden of your life, Satan is going to leave his landmines. And every now and then, you might step into it. But that ain't the problem. The problem is if you start looking for the stuff and step into that nonsense. Too many Christians are looking for sin. Stepping into it all along. It's a different story when you walk in life and you step into sin and, wow, Lord, forgive me. Clean yourself up. And then from then on, start to look out for the landmines. That's what I do now. I look, when I go out, I'm looking. And God wants you to know this. You need to walk in life. Don't be afraid. You can wash yourself off. But now look out for the stuff. Look out for it. Move away from iniquity. You cannot sit in church and constantly step in stuff. Get a girl pregnant. How did that happen? I don't know. I don't know, Pastor. Flirting with girls, flirting with boys, then you get pregnant. How did that happen? No, I don't know, Pastor. Well, there's a seed time and a harvest. I have to sit you down with the bees, tell you the whole story. But that's sin. I'm not saying the child is sin, but that is sin in the eyes of God. You can't constantly say, oh, but Jesus loves me. No, Jesus says, I know that you are mine, but if you use my name and you say that you are mine, I also know that you move away from iniquity. Are you still with me? God loves you, man. Hebrews chapter 6, I'm coming in for a land. It says, therefore leaving the discussion of the elementary, the foundation principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, the foundation of faith towards God, the foundation of the doctrines of baptisms, the foundation of the laying on of hands, the foundation of the resurrection from the dead, and the foundations of eternal judgment. You need to understand that these are the foundations of what you are building, your life, the kingdom. Paul is actually saying, one translation said it, I think the Amplified said it so beautifully. He says, let us not lay again the foundation principles of our faith. What is the foundation principle of our faith? Not belief, repentance from dead works. Friends, without repentance, nothing in your life is going to change. Church, you might be born again, but you find yourself in sin. Unless you repent, nothing is going to change. Repentance from dead works. Then faith towards God. I believe His word. I believe what He says. Get yourself baptized. I get myself baptized. He says, be filled with the Spirit. I get filled with the Spirit. He says, go pray in tongues and win souls. I go and pray in tongues and I win souls. Foundation principles. Then he says, the next foundation is the laying on of hands. There's a full-on attack because Satan doesn't want you to lay your hands upon people because it costs nothing for you to lay hands upon people. And if millions of Christians are laying hands upon people, then hospitals will be empty. So he's telling you, it died when the disciples died. Keep you not focusing on the foundations so that you can do nothing. Laying on of hands so that the sick can recover and people can be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says the foundation of the resurrection from the dead. Didn't Jesus say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper. the foundation doctrine of the resurrection from the dead. You might walk one day in darkness, the next day you walk in light. From death to life in a moment. That's why so many churches are full of Christians and not sinners. Because they have rejected the foundation of saving people. Jesus healed or delivered people from death. Resurrection from the dead. That's the power of God. That makes us different. Full on attack on your life, not to be operating in your anointing to raise people from the dead. The last one is the foundation of eternal judgment. Yeah. Hollywood pastors will tell you everything is fine. The foundation is the following. You're going to give account of every word, every thought, and everything you did. That is, you can take it to the bank. You're not going to stand next to me. You're not going to stand in front of me. You're not going to stand behind me. You're going to stand your wife next to you. You're going to stand alone, naked before the Lord. Can't hide nothing. And you will give account of how you served Him, how you thought, what you said, how you treated people, how you built His kingdom. And if you have Jesus, you should not be afraid. It's not to fear you. But Jesus said, you're going to lose your reward if you don't take heed how you build. Because today, you come to church and God is throwing materials to you. He's throwing a straw and He's throwing sticks and He's throwing hay and He's throwing gold and He's throwing silver and He's throwing precious stones. And He says, take heed how you build. God wants you to build on the solid rock. There's a whole parable on how to build your house. Don't build in sand. Even in sand, you need foundations. I have found, recently discovered, I might be slow, but I have discovered that even on rock, you need proper foundations. Solid foundations. And the Bible says that there's no other foundation than Jesus. He is the solid rock. But I want to tell you that the rest of the Bible, Jesus said the following, that you need to take heed how you build the foundations, and you should build on no other foundation than is Jesus. Because some of you are wood builders, and some of you are straw builders. God doesn't want you to be a building with straw, sticks, or wood. He wants you to build with precious stone, silver, and gold. That's why so many of us, our lives are like shanties. Wind comes, the roof is gone. Rain comes, we all wait. You can be born again in church, but if you don't heed how you build, if you don't build a solid foundation on the rock of Jesus, if you don't take the foundations that I'm sharing with you and make sure that they are the solid foundations upon the rock, which is Jesus, and you then build, if you don't take time every now and then to inspect your foundations and to make sure that they're solid again as you build, you're going to lay the phone out, because storms will come. Rain is going to come. And let me tell you, I'm not a doom prophet. There is a storm coming. Better get sure your foundations is upon the rock. Lord, make sure that you build strong foundations. You might be in the church for 6 years, 10 years, 15 years. I don't care, 50. You need to sit down and check your foundations. Make sure that they are strong. Where there needs to be repaired, repair those foundations and then build again. Friends, I want to tell you there's no other foundation for your life except Jesus. You might be here today and you say, but I've tried many other stuff. Listen, stuff ain't going to help you. Jesus is. He is the only foundation for mankind. If you have Him as your solid rock, You can build a great marriage. You can build a great business. You can become a great father, mother. You can become a great businessman. But He is the foundation of mankind. It says here in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." I want to encourage you today. God calls us to be game changers. But let us become game changers that focus on foundations, which understand the value of foundations. There's no greater picture for me. I've said it to you so many times. That scripture that Jesus said, "I didn't come to do the law and the prophets." I've read it for, since I got saved, Christ showed me that. He does not rebuke or remove the foundations. He restores it. Because He is the foundation builder. He's focused on foundations. Make sure your foundations are strong. Value foundations. And then, as you are becoming a game changer in every situation, when you step into a situation, the first thing you should ask is the following. How's the foundations of this thing? Let's inspect the foundations. You speak to somebody that's in a sticky situation, their lives is falling apart. What do? It's like I'm telling some of you here, your life is falling apart. You have no assurance of eternal life. You're on your way to hell. I'm looking at your life and I say, "Hey, bro, how's your foundation?" The only way I can change your game, the only way, is if I check your foundations. How's your foundation? Is Jesus the rock that you build your foundations upon? Christian, are you building on sand instead of the rock? In every situation, if we want to be game changers, we need to look at the foundations, number one. Value those foundations. Steady those foundations. And let's build again. You might be in a church for a long time. You haven't been a builder yet. Go back to the foundations. Repentance, baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit. People getting saved. People on fire for God. Get back. Restore your foundations. You might be here today and you say, "Tabu, I don't know Jesus. And I do not have the assurance of eternal life." I want to tell you, I've got good news for you. Best news ever. If you can believe, God will save you. God will give you His Son as your solid eternal foundation, a rock that you can build upon. You can believe, God can save. That's the good news. You don't have. You can't save yourself. That's bad news. Good news is Jesus saved you. All you need to do is to grab onto Him. You might be a Christian here today, and I'm saying my last thing. You're not building as you should build. Check your foundations. Have you moved away? Have you moved away from giving, praying, fasting, soul winning? Get back there. Amen. Let's build again on solid foundations. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You're here with us. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You that we know that You're here to speak to us individually. Thank You that we can hear Your voice. Thank You that we know that we can't hide nothing from You, that You are not here to condemn us, but that You came to give us a life and a life more abundantly. Thank You that You said it so clear in Your word that the Son of Man has not come to condemn the world, but to save those who need to be saved. Right now, I pray for those who's here today that do not have the assurance of eternal life. Father, thank You that You're here today to speak to them. And if you are here today and you say, "Tabu, that's me. I don't know that I know that if I die, I will go to heaven." Or you maybe you're here today and you say, "I'm brutally honest, Tabu. I do not have a relationship with Jesus, but I believe that God came to save me and that today I can have that relationship." Then I want to ask you, while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, can I please pray with you before we go? Because above everything I said today, this is the most important thing. That you give your life to Jesus. We love you and God loves you. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. I want you to pray this with all your heart. Believe it. Then make a decision to follow Jesus. And I promise you, He will never leave you nor forsake you. And if God can use me, God's going to use you. And that's what He wants to do in your life. Amen. I want you to put your hand on your heart. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to pray this out loud. Say, "Heavenly Father,
Thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today and I ask for forgiveness. I receive it. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son, that He died for me so that today I can choose life. Thank you, Father, for loving me. I pray that you will use me in your kingdom and in your church for your glory. Make me a game changer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give them a big hand.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website, www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.